Good morning, my name is Millie Plant, and on behalf of Design Centre Chelsea Harbour, I'd like to wish you all a warm welcome to this morning's design workshop. Before we start, can I ask that you kindly turn your phones either to silent or off? Thank you. This series of design workshops has been devised to get the inside track on all things that are on the style radar. And love of nature is a huge theme this year. We're delighted that this session is hosted by fashion market editor Olivia Bennett, who'll be talking to star florist Philippa Craddock. Please give them a very warm welcome.
Hello everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Philippa started her career in floristry 10 years ago, and her star has very much been on the ascent ever since. She has worked with prestigious names from Fortnum & Mason to Dior and McQueen, and she's the preferred florist for the V&A and Kensington Palace, to name but a few. And of course we have to mention she was the florist behind Harry and Meghan's wedding.
That was good timing.
And the exquisite floral arrangements were as talked about as Meghan's dress. So let's start with how you got into floristry.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you so much for coming today. It's so beautiful, this showroom. So it's just that sort of lovely sort of sense of calm at
Absolutely,
the end of the week.
Absolutely, so relaxing.
I'm sure, like all of you, it's had a crazy, crazy week, so I've been really excited about coming today. So thank you for being here. So I started my business 10 years ago after my first child. I originally started an online plant gifting company. So kind of ironically, it was instead of cut flowers. And people, instead of buying it, so the idea was these sort of beautiful plants were in gorgeous packaging and people would buy them and send them as gifts. But people, instead of doing that, they used them as table centers for weddings. And then people were asking if I could put the bridal flowers together. Which I couldn't do because I wasn't a florist. And I tried to work with some local florists, but the designs didn't quite work out. So I thought, I'm going to give this a go. So I bought a few floristry books and a few flowers, and I kind of played around. And I completely and utterly fell in love with floristry. And I sort of, by that stage, I sort of knew what a rose was and a tulip was, but I really didn't know much about flowers beyond that. So it was just this massive learning curve and a kind of a love affair, I suppose, with flowers. And the business sort of just grew from there. Over the last 10 years.
Amazing. So I would sort of characterise your style as very romantic, very British, use a lot of meadow flowers. How would you define your style?
I think, yeah, I hope exactly like that. I love that sort of description. I think, interestingly, in the early days, my designs were very compact and tight, but I think it's because I was a bit nervous then. And I think that's the great thing about floristry. As you begin to relax and you begin to enjoy it, I think your designs start
Absolutely.
Loosening
Absolutely. I think when people get into sort of flowers or their first tries with it, they feel quite nervous, not sure what to pair with each other.
Oh,
whereas
goodness.
That sort of natural feel and sort of intuition will come
Absolutely.
Over time.
Because I remember the amount of time trying to put hand ties together and my hands just the sort of the cramps because I was so nervous and trying to get it absolutely perfect. Whereas now it's a bit easier to do. But I think it's for me, it's very much looking at nature and seeing what's going on outside and absolutely trying to emulate that in a design. I want designs to look as if they've kind of just been thrown together and as if they're supposed to be there. That to me is really important. That could be just loads of foliage, doesn't have to just be flowers.
Amazing.
Particularly at the moment, these gorgeous autumnal foliages.
Absolutely. So, of course, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding. I'm sure
Yes. You're
asked about this all the time. Was it a surprise, completely off the cuff, that they came to you, or did you have any kind of inkling that you've worked in the past?
I really hoped that we may get a phone call, and we did. But yes, really surprised at the same time. It's not a phone call that you would sort of expect to get. And it was just such a lovely, easy process. There was nothing complicated about it. The whole thing was incredibly down to earth. A phone call came through to the studio. It was very clear who was calling. There was no particular cover up or secrecy. And the whole process from there was really, really enjoyable. And I think actually I look back with incredibly fond memories. And I actually really enjoyed it before it was everything was made public. It was like this is really lovely secret of sort of absolutely disappearing off to Kensington Palace to have these incredible conversations about somebody's wedding. And it was very, very easy to forget the size of it and the scale of it and the high profile. Like there were often times where it was like working with any one of our clients. It was very special. I know how lucky we were to get that.
Absolutely. And so what was the initial brief they gave you? Did they have specific things that sort of match what you would want to do anyway?
Well, unusually, normally we would be given briefs from clients, but actually this was very different. It was more, could you please come and suggest some ideas? And it just happened to coincide with exactly what they were looking for. I think for them, they wanted, rather than telling lots of different florists what they were looking for and then someone to reinterpret that, they were looking for somebody that already had similar ideas. So, I mean, that is just incredibly lucky that completely worked and that coincided. And right from, I had a very clear idea of perhaps where the flowers should come from, how the design should be put together, and the message. In something at that scale, you have to think about every single thing from the beginning right way through to the end.
Absolutely.
See what happens to the flowers afterwards, because you just know that every single element is going to be looked into.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we want to make sure we consider all of that.
Fantastic. And what flowers created that gorgeous archway?
So the majority actually was greenery. We were very lucky because we had sort of access to all the parks and a bunch of very, very enthusiastic people who were just only too happy to help. So I kind of had a field day. It was in my element. It was like, what sort of trees do you want? And at the time, they were looking to thin out some of the woodland close to St. George's Chapel. So it was brilliant just being able to say, well, it would be great to have this foliage and this foliage. So it was just a whole bunch of sort of late spring, early summer
beautiful
greenery. And then obviously there were plenty of flowers as well, but the majority of the base of it was greenery.
No, it's absolutely gorgeous because it really did sort of soften that architecture of St. George's Chapel, because it's quite an austere building. So it's beautiful to be able to have that softening effect around it.
Exactly, and that is exactly the aim. I think it was quite austere, and it was really such a romantic story. So I wanted, just to help add my little bit there. So
well, you did. It was absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
Now on to your work with the V&A.
Yes. So I've been at the V&A. Is absolutely my favourite museum in the world. It's just incredible. I think there's that incredible mixture of tradition, but amazing sort of modernness
absolutely
that sort of comes through as well. They have this incredible Tim Walker exhibition there at the moment, and just their willingness to try new things. So I think one of the hardest things as you're growing as a florist, it's one of the sort of catch-22 that you can't get onto these venue lists unless you've done work at the venues, but you can't do work at the venues unless you're on the venue list, and it sort of goes round and round. But the V&A was the very first venue that said, actually, we really like your style and personality, and you know what, we're just going to add you to our list. And once you're added onto that list, it flows from there. And I'm so grateful to them for giving us that opportunity to start off with. So we've been working with them for about six years, something like that. And from a series of events that we've done there, we were then asked as well, so this was a couple of years ago, if we could create a Frida Kahlo installation, was something that worked for their Frida Kahlo exhibition that ran last summer. And we came up with a number of different ideas. And again, they're really playful. So they wanted something that's going to be interactive and exciting and not too serious. So we created, I think it was sort of on one of the earlier slides, we worked with a local iron worker who made this amazing minimalist structure of Frida Kahlo. And then we added this insane sort of
beautiful
halo of flowers using faux flowers. They were all silk flowers rather than fresh ones. And the whole idea was you could sort of get inside Frida Kahlo's head. And it was one of these sort of great social media, just fun, people having fun with it. And it was supposed to be in place, I think, for about 3 months, but they extended it. It was there for 6 to 9 months. And I am a big believer that designs need to continue. So if it's fresh flowers, if you can repurpose the flowers, that's great, or compost them, but don't waste anything. So I was trying to figure out what on earth do we do with a sort of 3x4 meter size Frida Kahlo head. And at the time I was linked up with an amazing charity called International Women, and they were looking for pieces that they could auction. So we managed to get Frida into Sotheby's, and she was auctioned off for thousands and thousands. And I believe, happily, she sort of went back over to Central America, where she's in somebody's home.
Brilliant.
So it's those kind of things that are fun. And then from that, we were asked to create these headbands for the gift shop, which was bonkers and brilliant. So we created these really fun designs. And I went to a dinner a few months ago, and somebody turned up with one of the headbands.
Oh, amazing.
Which was great. Which then led to us working with Matches Fashion. So we've now into our third collection, about to launch our fourth one. The incredible sort of online retail store, and we create these extraordinary headbands, everything from things that are quite minimalist and
delicate. Absolutely huge, and amazing ones that look at home on the runway. Maybe that's something for next season.
Exactly.
Who knows?
But they just so Tim Walker did a shoot in Mexico, so it's coming out in Vogue November, so that'll be at the beginning of October. But we provided some headbands for him. So kind of nuts. It's sort of where floristry takes you, and you have to say yes to everything.
Absolutely. And they are incredible, because they're all sort of the hand-painted ones in the V&A, and they sort of mirror the authenticity and the fluidity and movement of flowers, which is incredible. How long did the process take to make those?
Yeah, a long time. And we work with milliners who put those together. My sort of skills don't really extend beyond creating flowers. So I'm very, very lucky to have an amazing team of milliners to sort of take my ideas and make them a reality.
Incredible. And so all your pieces are made with such an intimate sort of attention to detail. How does the creative process when making sort of small bouquet compared to a large scale masterpiece, how does that change?
I would say it's really similar, actually. I think it doesn't matter if you're, exactly as you say, if you're creating something that's really small or you're creating something that's huge, it always starts in the same place, the same brief. Who is the client? What are they looking to create? What are we trying to say? What is the message through the design? And then if it's a hand tie, obviously it's just a little bit simpler, probably one person creating it. But if it's something like a huge installation archway, then you just need to be a little bit more organised with a bit more metal in place to make it work.
Absolutely. And within the home, how do you use flowers? Obviously, the transformative power of flowers is amazing. Having a bunch on your sort of kitchen table or in the hallway injects that colour and that instant boost to your interiors. How do you use flowers within your home?
I use a lot of greenery. So not as many flowers. Occasionally I have flowers, but I have lots and lots of greenery in the house. In fact, we've just recently moved house. We're renting at the moment. And in amongst all the boxes and the mayhem, there was one contour table that was put out into the hallway. And whilst my husband and children were busily unpacking boxes, I was off in the garden cutting some headroom and putting a vase with greenery. And at that stage, this is good. I feel a bit calmer now. It's just getting some kind of sort of vegetation and life into the house. And
Absolutely.
It's the same when it comes to, we were talking earlier about cooking. I'm a terrible cook. It's I wish I loved to cook.
I know, me too.
It's not
such a skill that I don't have.
It's not something I'm good at. It's not something I really want to do either. But I will spend hours and hours putting a table design together. It's my bit of escapism. And again, it's just creating that welcome for friends and for guests. When you
absolutely
walk into
it sets the scene for any sort of dinner party you're hosting.
Yeah. Oh, these are the matches.
This is incredible.
The most nuttiest one. But it's just works. It's really comfortable when you wear it. And we're very lucky because matches, they just have extraordinary models and they style them very, very beautifully. But yeah, it's fun.
And sustainability is very key to your business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell us more about that?
It's so, so important in floristry. And I feel that we're just at the beginning of sort of understanding about sustainability in floristry. I think people are now so very aware of where their food comes from and also where their clothes are made. But people are not really questioning where their flowers are coming from and what's happening to them. So there was a big movement just a couple of years ago about buying locally, and absolutely, that's really, really important. But there are some incredible farms in places like Kenya whose levels of sustainability and what they're looking to do in terms of soil structure and the way they use their water and lack of electricity is absolutely groundbreaking. And it's extraordinary. And it is far better to buy the flowers from these farms, despite the extra air miles, and sometimes it is to buy on some of the mass-produced farms that are closer by. The best possible way of buying flowers is from a local grower, a small sort of scale. That would be the best. And there are plenty of farmer markets now that have all these amazing flowers. And then, of course, not using the dreaded Oasis, the sort of green florist foam. It's horrible to work with anyway. Sort of gets in your eyes and creeps in everywhere. It's got a horrible smell as well. But it's just trying to be brave about using different techniques. Lots of wire and water. We have quite a lot of little how-to guides on our Instagram. So if anybody's interested, hop on there and have a look.
Amazing. And so we're entering the autumn season now. Flowers that will be entering their key season, what should people be using at their homes right now?
Again, going back to lots of greenery, just the colours that come through, those sort of amazing burnt oranges and the autumnal tones.
Beautiful.
And then hydrangeas, oh my goodness, this time of year, they're just beautiful. Particularly the brown burnt orange, the depth of those colours. I'm beginning to see anemones coming up, so from big sort of balls of the hydrangeas through to something that's a little bit more delicate. Little vases full of delicate anemones. It's very, very beautiful that they're coming back now.
Brilliant. And let's talk about your workshops, which you've started doing, look absolutely incredible and based for people of all different sort of levels of experience. Can you tell us more about those?
So I think one of the things that's been really, really important to me, when I first started out, there were so many people that told me that I was nuts doing floristry. And I remember even speaking to a florist who was really, she was really upset that I'd started out in floristry. And it was very much sort of, who do you think you are type attitude. And it really hurt me in the early stages. And it very nearly made me not start out in a floristry career. And it's something that has remained with me. And I want to do the absolute opposite. And I want to encourage as many people to have fun with flowers. It's given me so much enjoyment over the last 10 years. And I want people to thrive, whether it's just at home and just having fun, bit of escapism from everybody's stressful lives, but also through to people starting their own businesses and getting people to feel really confident and getting people to put some incredible designs together, like significant installations. Quite often our workshops cover designs that people may never actually, the size of them, they may never actually apply, but they can downscale them. But it's just to sort of believe, people to believe in themselves that they can put that sort of level of design together. It's a really good sort of feel-good factor. And we run, there's three different workshops that we run. There's a day workshop, which is great if you're looking for to get a bit more confidence and understanding of the flowers at home. You'll learn how to put a perfect hand tie together and a table design. And then we run two professional courses. They're both 1 week long. One is focusing on archways. And then the second one is an advanced professional one, which looks at more of the actual construction process. And we put people in a live situation. So our clients have always been wonderful. So last month we were at the New Craftsman, a showroom up in Mayfair. And our students were allowed to create an installation in the New Craftsman, which is just insane and so brave of them to do it. And I think sort of putting people into real life position.
Absolutely, because with such a live product, things can go wrong. You have to have a backup plan. So it's brilliant to put them into that situation so they really can learn as they go. Fantastic.
And then that sort of feel-good factor. So you know that the work is in kind of incredible places like that. So I think, I've been very, very fortunate. So whatever I can do for people as well, it's brilliant being able to connect.
I think it's brilliant working with other florists.
Yeah.
Sort of taking away that sort of competitiveness.
Oh, my
goodness. Everyone to get involved. It's brilliant.
It's so important. It's like John Carter, who did all the designs through the design centre.
Yeah.
They're stunning. They're so beautiful. And I think I'm so passionate about this. And I'm hoping, there's quite a few florists I'm speaking to at the moment who are going to come and join our workshops. Florists that I've admired for years.
Everyone has a different style and it's about sort of teaching that as well. How brilliant. Now, just before we open the floor to any questions, what would be your key advice for any novices, including myself, who'd love to get into floristry?
Oh, just to give it a go and relax when you're doing it. And knowing that nothing can ever look bad if you're working with flowers and greenery. And just have fun with it. And never ever use vases that are, the tops are wider than the bottom. You're going to fail. You're setting yourself up for failure. So always use vases with a narrower neck and then you'll nail it.
Fantastic. So does anyone have any questions for Philippa?
When you said you like to set up your dining table at home, yeah. What do you like to do?
Oh, it changes the whole time. So I've done lunches for friends where I filled the entire kitchen with Christmas trees because I thought that'd be quite a fun thing to do. Through to just lots of single vases where I've used hundreds and hundreds of poppies. I've also, again, lots of foliage and sort of loose designs. It changes the whole time. It's whatever I feel like doing sort of at that moment. We were talking about it earlier. Again, I'm terribly, terribly last minute for everything I do. So it's kind of whatever happens to be in the market as well. So I will sort of go in and be inspired by that. But yeah, just having fun with it. Yeah. Makes up for the bad food.
Hello.
Hi.
I've never met you before, but I was fascinated by your talk. And I have a boutique, and it's a blow-dry bar. But I wanted to incorporate a flower stall outside. I didn't know where to start in terms of finding a contractor or even someone that would be interested to even rent the space to make it a business, because we're in quite a quiet area. And being interested in styling myself, I would want to be more involved. But I just don't know where to start without marketing, executing investors, getting people that would be interested, or even patrons. And I started it 2 years ago, and literally we've come to a conclusion. You have to take a break and reflect.
Right.
So there's about 4 questions in there.
Well,
where do you start? Because the business is there and it's established, but how do you take the flowers and how do you get it? Who do you approach? Do you advertise? Because we put it on up here.
I would love to. We can have a lengthy conversation afterwards because I've got lots of ideas. But I think we have had so many incredible students through our workshop. So I'd be delighted to tap into our alumni. There may well be somebody who would be enthusiastic because it sounds like an incredible opportunity for somebody. But let's certainly talk in a bit more detail afterwards. Yeah, you're welcome.
First of all, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful talk this morning. I just had a question. I'm sort of trying to start up and establish my own business on the side. So I've got a full-time job at the moment. But how when you started with the online business with the plants, how did you start to get your name out there? Because I know now, I suppose... Yeah. People must come to you asking you to do things. But how did you start out getting people to know who you were and what you were doing?
So a brilliant question. And interestingly, we still have to work really, really hard at getting our name out. It never, ever stops, all of that. And I think the best advice from that is having a very clear focus. So if it's a particular client, you're looking for, or it's a particular type of people, or it's a publication, you have to have a very, very clear focus and aim for that. Don't try and do everything. So for me, there was, when I started the plant business, there was an online blog, just one, that I was really, really keen to get on. And I probably focused on that for about 6 to 8 months, finding the right person, trying to get the tone right, the message right, and then finally contacting them. So it really was that length of time and studying the blog and understanding it inside out. So when I then I approached them, I was in a better chance for them to be able to feature us, but also never ever having the assumption that they absolutely would do. So it's just so much perseverance and absolute focus. And it's, again, you'll be knocked back the whole time. Oh my goodness, I remember just so many knockbacks. And again, it's just picking yourself up and just getting sort of focused. And if it doesn't work one way, then you try a different way. But my background, I'm sort of originally from a very small village in Scotland and didn't have any links or any leads at all into that world. So it's just sort of trying to figure it out and doing sort of step it each time and trying to remain positive. You're welcome, but amazing. It's really, really exciting. And yeah, good luck with all of that. Anytime, any questions, please, you can contact me straight on Instagram or something. Always delighted to help. Yes. Brilliant question. And depending on the design that you're creating, lots of scrunched up wire or moss, they're the two sort of key things. And it's just sort of working out the best way to be able to use those and making sure you get that really good base. The other super thing about using that, if you're using Oasis, when you put a stem in, it just stays rigid. Whereas when you put it into a wire, it will flop a little bit. And there's something rather beautiful about that. It just creates more flow in the design. It's a little bit harder, but it's more enjoyable to work with as well. But yeah, great question. Oh, frogs as well. That's another, not literally frogs. But there's these things that are weighted and they have loads and loads and loads of pins that come up. And I don't know why they're called frogs, but they're called frogs. And you can drop those into the bottom of a vase and you can just sort of stick stems into those. So those three things. You won't forget the frogs.
Cool. Any more? No? On which case? Oh, yeah.
Sorry. It's okay. Hopefully people can hear me. Can they?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not a florist. I'd love to be in flowers, but I've sort of helped friends out, that sort of thing, and I've seen when things go wrong. Like
yeah.
Once, all of these beautiful flowers, I'm so excited about them.
Yeah.
And three boxes of the most expensive flowers came damaged.
Oh, no. There tends to be always something that goes wrong on big projects. Exactly like that. The weather, or I don't know, a big vase falls over and smashes, or whatever it is. And it's just being prepared and knowing that something probably will go wrong, and then just remaining completely calm. And there's always a solution. There always is. And I think gathering really calm people around you as well. But I think it's just you have to be, if you're working in those in sort of large events and large weddings, you have to be very laid back and relaxed, but methodically on it at the same time. So you plan with an inch. So every single detail is being considered. And if it's something, so we did recently, we did a big event across in Sardinia. And it was working out sort of how we could get the flowers across that was sort of easy and meant that we could sort of source as locally as possible. But they ended up being on a big lorry. But my concern was, what happens if something happens to that lorry? Because it has all of the flowers on. So we absolutely had a backup plan on just in case something happened to this. So it's always making sure you have those things in place and then relaxing. Sometimes if it's a large design, then absolutely. It's not for us, but it's always for the clients. So they've got a really clear idea of what it's going to look like. I think most creators can sort of see very clearly in my head, and normally I can sort of get that across in words, but we've had clients in the past where they've sort of said, I don't want to see a single word on this document. I just want visuals. It's like, okay. So I think it's, yes, it depends who the client is. It depends what is helpful for them.
Anyone else? Yeah.
Yes, great question. Again, it depends on the kind of flower. First up, always buy flowers that are in season. That's going to make sure that they last as long as possible. And make sure your vase is completely clean. So if you use a sort of sterident or something like that, or bleach as well, you just need to make sure there's actually no bacteria at all in the vase. And then change your water daily if you can do, if not every couple of days. You just want to stop the bacteria building up. And make sure that no leaves lie below the water level again. That's just one of the good ways for bacteria to build up. So you just want to avoid that. And also, if you don't have any flower food, interestingly, sometimes flower food isn't brilliant for flowers. I've been working with some amazing scientists at Cambridge University, and they're studying how long flowers can last. And they've discovered that about a third of the flowers that often are given flower food, it speeds up their life. So it's not necessarily the best thing to do. But actually, if you're not using flower food, if you use a tiny amount of bleach in the water, tiny, tiny, tiny amount, after you put the water in, otherwise you get loads of froth. And then that will help as well.
Brilliant. So on behalf of Design to Chelsea Harbour, I'd like to thank McKinnon and Harris for the use of their beautiful showroom. And of course, Philippa and Olivia for the most fascinating talk. Really beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.